بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and we beseech Him for help and we ask for His protection and we seek safety in Allah from the weakness and from the bad things, intentions and different appetites that are working against our own souls and from the evil consequences of what we ourselves do. And whoever Allah guides, we know that there is no one that can lead him or astray. And whoever Allah finds in error, there is no one to guide him. And that is conditional because if he repents and asks Allah for his guidance, Allah will give him that guidance. But he must repent. And I bear witness that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, is his servant and his messenger. We're going to try to cover a lot today, even though we are starting late. We don't have the time that I had hoped, so we may have to continue this talk at another time. But the topic is the conditions for receiving Allah's mercy. But before we begin, I want to read in English something important to set the tone of the khutbah, and that is from Surah Al-Baqarah, and it's called the verse of the throne, or the Ayat al-Kursi. But I'm going to give it to you in the English to make sure we all understand it. Allah, there's no God except Him, the Alive, the Eternal. Neither slumber nor sleep overtakes Him. And unto Him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth. And who is He that intercedeth with Him? Intercede is a word which means that can go between the person and God. We don't need an intercession. God allows us to speak directly to Him. But it says, who is he that interceded with Him except by His leave? So we can't even approach Allah to ask Him for anything unless He permits it. And He's very merciful and He's willing to hear us if we are sincere. But God tells us in the Quran that a person who prays and is not sincere is like a person just wandering around in the dark, aimlessly. The Quran says, He knows that which is in front of them and that which is behind them, and that's speaking of all of us, while they encompass nothing of His knowledge save what He wills. His throne includes the heavens and the earth, and He is never weary of preserving them, and He is the sublime, the tremendous. And we'll stop the reading right there, and we'll begin with this. With Allah's name, the gracious, the compassionate, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we witness that He is one, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and that He has no partner with Him in the rule of the heavens and the earth. He is Allah alone. And we witness that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger. Peace and blessings be upon Him. And what follows of that traditional salutation to the last prophet, the seal of the prophets, mentioned in the Quran as being the liberator coming to purify the people and bring them out of darkness, out of the darkness of ignorance, corruption, and slavery into the light of Allah's truth. Again, our topic is the conditions for receiving Allah's mercy. Allah explains to us in the Holy Quran what are the conditions for us to receive His mercy. And I'll give you the English translation of that. Allah says, He who wrongs or does wrong and then substitutes good for the evil, meaning repents of doing the wrong, then indeed I am forgiving and merciful. So that's clear. If we want to get his forgiveness and his mercy, we have to substitute doing that which is displeasing to Allah for that which is pleasing to Allah. We can't have it both ways. We can't expect Allah to be merciful and forgive us if we continue intentionally. We may slip and because of ignorance and sometimes because of weakness, make a mistake and fall victim to some desire, some appetite. But we should pray and pray and pray that we guard ourselves with the help of Allah against these weaknesses, because in order to get forgiveness from Allah, we have to put away these bad things. We can't walk on two sides of the street. Either we're going to go on the right or we're going to go on the other side. So, dear Muslims and any guests we have, in my talk today, I will share with you some thoughts from the late Sheikh Imam Waliduddin Muhammad, who taught me for 33 years before he passed in 2008. In the Quran, Allah says that Prophet Muhammad is the one mentioned in the Torah, in the old books of the Bible, as the one coming to purify you and take off your back the heavy yoke that weighs you down and to break every bond of slavery. Now, we think of slavery in the physical sense, but the worst form of slavery is not the slavery of the physical body. The worst form of enslavement is the enslavement of your soul, when you don't have your soul free for yourself. Your mind and your heart can all be enslaved by the Satan or Shaitan, the enemy of all human beings. He is the enemy of the human family. And Allah says of Satan, fight the schemes of Satan, or Shaitan in Arabic, his plots, his deceitful tricks plan to defeat you in your best life and in your best hope for life. Satan is out to defeat you right there so that you and I will be seen as ridiculous. He loves to make human beings ridiculous, where people are laughing at us, saying, look at that fool, look how he is. And the one whom he wants to mostly bring down and make ridiculous are the people, those who support the scriptures of Allah, the religious people. He wants to make us look ridiculous. We see some things going on in the world today, and the world is looking, and I'm not going to mention any particular place or any particular situation right now. You can use your knowledge of the current events and your imagination to figure this out. But we have some things going on in the world today, and a lot of the good people and a lot of the not so good people are focusing on these things and trying to find something in these events to be able to make, in their own minds, the Muslim and the religion of Al-Islam look ridiculous. Because they do not understand what's going on, but yet Satan has put it in their minds to make accusations, pronouncements, and other bad sayings concerning things they don't even understand. It's just that they want to make the Muslim look ridiculous. And so when we, as Muslims, when we are involved in anything, we should ask ourselves, is what I'm involved in, is it contributing to uplifting the name of our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, uplifting the Ummah, the family of Islam, or is it making us look ridiculous? We should think about that, because what we do individually, collectively, it reflects not on Prophet Muhammad, because his life stands on its own, but it reflects on our Ummah. And we don't want people to see our Ummah as a detriment to the upliftment of the world, because Allah sent Prophet Muhammad with this book, the Quran, to uplift the world. In fact, at the time that Prophet Muhammad came into this world, and at the time that he received the revelation, the Quran, the whole world was in a state which it ought to be is called jahiliyyah, or ignorance. It's called the age of ignorance. In European history, it's called the dark ages, or the medieval. Medieval is a word that basically means a form of civilization that still has yet to be evolved. And so what caused that to change? The revelation of the guidance from Allah to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, brought about not only in Europe, but throughout the known world. Throughout the known world, in India, in China, and of course in Arabia. Even though you don't hear this used in terms of those other countries, but it's true. This knowledge, this guidance brought about the Renaissance. Renaissance is a French word which means a rebirth from nascent. Or nascent means to be born. Or Renaissance means to be reborn. And the rebirth occurred because Allah removed the darkness, because he gave us this guidance through Prophet Muhammad. And we should be seen as the uplifters of civilization and not as a detriment to civilization. So we must be careful that we do not allow our own appetites and our weakness to bring us down. But Satan had a plan to defeat the Christians in their most sacred beliefs and in their most sacred places. In fact, not very long after the prophet name in Arabia, Isa ibn Maryam. Now his name, according to the history of his people, was not Isa ibn Maryam. But the Quran says Isa ibn Maryam, because the Quran is revealed in Arabia. But according to the scriptures and according to his own people's history, his name was Yeshua. Yeshua translates into English into Joshua. That's the real name according to the people who this prophet came out of. He came out of the Yahudi, or the Jewish people. And Yeshua was a Jewish name, and it was not an uncommon name. It was a common name. But when the early followers of Jesus, and some who were not truly followers, when they exported the teaching of Jesus to Europe, and they went to Greece, some of them did not have the best intentions, and they were willing to mix some of the paganism of the Greek people with what they had learned from Jesus, and they came up with the idea of promoting Jesus as another one of the gods, since the Greeks already had many gods. And this is history. But the Greeks, those who accepted the teaching of Jesus, however diluted or polluted, they began to call him not in the Jewish name, Yeshua, but they called him in another name, which translates into English as Jesus. Jesus is not a Greek name, and they don't speak Greek, but there's another name which I've seen in print that they called him. But when the English speakers translated the Bible, they translated it as Jesus. So I'm saying this because shortly after that, these people that claimed to be followers of this prophet, this great prophet named Isa in our language, they began to do so many evil things, so many bad things, fighting and killing each other. In fact, not long after the religion was established in Europe, they went on a rampage to the ends of the Roman Empire, to a place called Istanbul. I've been to Istanbul. It's in Turkey. And Islam had pushed all the way even past Turkey. But that was like the center of power at one time. And these so-called Christians who said they believed that Jesus taught love for humanity, they went in there with the desire to conquer that part of the world, because there were many benefits of being in charge of that part of the world, not just religious, but also commercial. And they killed the children, and they killed the women, and they killed the men, and they even killed the animals. And it was said that there was so much blood that it was as high as a horse's bridle. Now, I don't know if that's actually true, but the blood was everywhere where people were sloshing as they walked through the streets in human blood, because these so-called followers of Christ had nothing but greed and murder in their hearts. So Christianity did not look good then. And when we look at the history of those times, and this is called the Crusades, we don't get a good feeling. But when we look at Islam and some of the activities of some of the people that call themselves Muslims, we don't get a good feeling. So as Muslims today, we have to hold up the standards that this Quran has given humanity. We have to hold up the example that our Prophet Muhammad has given humanity, and never do anything that causes the religion of Al-Islam to be ridiculed. We don't have much time, so we're going to leave out a lot that I'd like to say today, but we'll continue next time I speak. But some things that are close to us are very detrimental in our lives. And sometimes, because they are things that are attractive to us, we forget that they are from the Satan, that they are schemes of Satan. And what are we talking about here? We're talking about intoxicants and gambling and games of superstition and corruptions. Because Allah says, surely intoxicants and gambling and games of superstition are corruptions, and they are the work of Satan, so stay away from them. So we already know, as Muslims, we cannot drink or take intoxicants. We know that. One of the first things we learn when we come into Al-Islam is we don't drink alcohol. We don't use intoxicating drugs. But you know, brothers, the Quran does not say the word khamir, even though it's been translated to mean alcohol, khamir. But in the Quran, when it's talking about the khamir, it's not actually talking about alcohol. It's talking about anything that intoxicates your mind, whatever it is. And I remember many, many years ago, we were in a different building. We had our own Islamic center at that time on the other side of the post. And most of the people that came to the Islamic center called the Masjid, unlike yourselves, were not in the U.S. Army. They were in foreign armies from throughout the world. We had people from Sierra Leone and the Gambia. We had people from Nigeria. We had people from Tunisia and Morocco. We had people from Saudi Arabia and Egypt and Pakistan, from Kurdistan. We had people that were officers. We had maybe two senior enlisted people from one of the countries that sent people here, but 99.9% of the people that came to the Islamic Center were commissioned officers from various international allies of the United States. And so one Ramadan, we would have a regular iftar every night during Ramadan. We would make the Maghrib prayer. We would have the iftar. We would stay for the Isha and Tarawih prayers. So we spent a whole evening doing Ramadan, each night of Ramadan, at the Islamic Center. But one thing that I noticed that I had to talk about as the imam, and I was actually elected as the imam. I was appointed by the garrison commander, but I wasn't satisfied with that. That wasn't the Islamic way. So I presented myself before the body. We had about 25 or 30 people there that day, and I said, listen, I can be your representative, but I can't be your imam unless you elect me as your imam. And so they elected me as the imam for Masjid Ibrahim. So I didn't appoint myself, and I didn't elect myself. I asked them if they wanted me to go ahead and raise their hand, and they all did. And that was a credit to me, but it was more of a credit to what work that we were doing collectively. But one thing I had to do was to teach them how to be better Muslims. And one of the problems that I encountered, was that a lot of them came from countries where, although they did not drink alcohol, they liked to smoke cigarettes. But the Quran doesn't say don't smoke cigarettes, and it doesn't say don't drink alcohol. But what has happened is people have begun to interpret what the Quran says erroneously and think that it permits smoking cigarettes and forbids drinking alcohol. That's totally incorrect. It says, do not take anything into your body that's going to intoxicate your mind. And these cigarettes that these brothers were smoking were very strong. Now, I know a little bit about tobacco. I haven't always been a Muslim. And I remember when I first experimented with tobacco as a 13-year-old. I'll never forget, I bought a cigar. That's the tobacco that's rolled up in a nice fat roll. It's not the little shreds like you have in a cigarette, it's leaves rolled up. And I said, I'm going to try this and see how it is. And after a couple of puffs, because I didn't know how to inhale, but just sucking it in and puffing and blowing it out, I couldn't stand up. That's the power of the intoxicant in tobacco. So if tobacco even makes you a little bit woozy, a little bit high, it's forbidden. Because Allah says that which is forbidden because it is intoxicating, even a tiny bit is forbidden. So if you smoke that cigarette, and even if it makes you feel, you might say it makes you feel relaxed, but that relaxation is a beginning form of intoxication. Why? Because you get in the habit of wanting that relaxation whenever you're in a stress situation. The next thing you know, you're hooked. So tell your friends that are Muslim, if you see them smoking, tell them the Quran forbids that. Not by name, but because of the effect that it has that the Quran forbids you to experience, which is an intoxicating effect. So we're going to have to stop now because of the time, but we have much more to say on this subject. So we're going to continue later at a later date. So as we close, we ask that Allah protect us for the blessings that He has given us. For if He does not protect them, if He does not protect us in them, we will certainly lose them. O Allah, we ask You to protect us and protect for us the gifts You have given us. And for those of us that are married, or those of us that have children, or some have been married and they're no longer married, but they still have children to pray for and to help and to develop. So we ask Allah to protect us for these gifts, in these gifts of our wives and our children. And let us always remember the requirements for the Muslim life and the proof of the Muslim life. And what is the key requirement for the Muslim life? Very simple. But I'm going to give it to you in the words that are not associated with the Quran, that are not associated normally with Al-Islam, but they came from one of the great prophets of Al-Islam, and you won't find them in this book, the Quran, but you'll find them in the traditions of Prophet Isa. When he was asked to summarize God's commandment, he said this: you shall love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, with thy whole mind, with thy whole soul, and with thy whole strength. That's the number one. We say la ilaha illallah, same thing. And then he said, you shall love your fellow man and woman, of course, as you love yourself. We say you should want for your brother and sister, Muslim, but not really just Muslim, but any human creature and any other creature, what you want for yourself. So if we just keep those two simple commandments in mind, to put nothing before Allah, there's nothing to be worshipped or served except Allah. Anything that opposes or anything that takes you away from the worship of Allah, leave it alone. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. And trust that Allah will reward you and favor you if you want for your fellow human being what you want for yourself. So if we forget, if we become weak, if Satan slips in on us and our appetite or our weakness takes us away from the right path, the moment that we recognize that we are out of the form that Allah wants us to be in, which is in complete obedience to him, we should ask forgiveness, repent, meaning stop doing whatever we were doing, so we can get back in the form that Allah created us for, the form of a righteous person believing in God, believing in Allah. Because of the shortness of the time, I won't take time after we finish the prayer to make announcements. Now we'll ask our brother, one officer, Khalil Tillman, to make any announcements that are necessary. But we do want to make this one request or announcement. We ask that you keep in your mind one of our brothers who was here years ago from Mali. His name is Brother Ibrahim. And his story is one I'll tell you at another time. But he recently lost his one-year-old baby about, 4 months ago in May. And we want to keep him and his family in our du'as. And also his father, who was a member of our Ummah for a while. And his name is Brother Saidu, Ibrahim and Saidu Diakiti. His father's not very well. So pray for them, because they're going through a lot, having lost their baby, his child and his daddy's grandson. So now we pray as we close, and we will say this in Arabic and also English. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala Ali Muhammadin kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid bil alamin wa majid. Allah exalt Muhammad and the true followers of Muhammad as you just exalt Abraham and the true followers of Abraham, for surely you are praised and magnified. Allah bless Muhammad and the true followers of Muhammad as you did bless Abraham and the true followers of Abraham, for surely you are praised and magnified. Come to Allah. Brother Imam Khan. Brother Imam Khan? Yes, okay.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب ما أغنى عنه ماله وما كسب سيصلى نارا ذات لهب وامرأته حمالة حطب في جيدها حبل من مسد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
آمين.
قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.